Where to End Wares by Margaret Elspeth Holbrook, read by Grace Hayes. Here we go. For Logic U, The World Before the War. The morning of June 28, 1914, began with sunshine over Sarajevo, the capital of the Austro-Hungarian province of Bosnia-Herzegovina. Archduke Franz Ferdinand, heir to the throne of Austria-Hungary, had come to the city to inspect military maneuvers, bringing with him his wife, Sophie, Duchess of Hohenberg. The streets were dressed with bunting. A crowd gathered along the Appell Quay to watch the motorcade pass. Gavrilo Princip was 19 years old, a Bosnian Serb nationalist affiliated with a secret organization called the Black Hand, which believed that Slavic peoples living under Austro-Hungarian rule deserved to be united with the independent Kingdom of Serbia. He and six fellow conspirators had taken up positions along the motorcade route. The first attempt went wrong. A bomb thrown at the Archduke's car bounced off the folded back convertible hood and exploded under the following car, wounding several people. Franz Ferdinand's driver accelerated, and the motorcade sped past Princip and the remaining conspirators. The plot seemed to have failed. Then chance intervened. After visiting the injured at the hospital, the Archduke's motorcade took a wrong turn onto Franz Josef Street. The lead driver, realizing his error, stopped to reverse directly in front of Schiller's Delicatessen, where Princip had stopped to collect himself. Princip stepped forward and fired twice. The first bullet struck Sophie in the abdomen. The second struck Franz Ferdinand in the jugular vein. Both died within the hour. In the Austro-Hungarian Foreign Ministry, the assassination was understood as an opportunity. Serbia, the small independent Slavic kingdom to the south, was seen as a destabilizing force that encouraged unrest among Austria-Hungary Slavic populations. A sufficiently humiliating ultimatum, one that Serbia could not possibly accept, would provide the pretext for the war that the foreign minister, Count Berchtold, and the military chief of staff, Konrad von Hotzendorf, had long wanted. What no one fully understood, in Vienna or anywhere else, was that the diplomatic machinery of Europe had been wound so tightly by two decades of alliance-making, arms races, and colonial competition that the death of one archduke would set the entire mechanism spinning toward catastrophe. The great powers of Europe had spent 40 years building armies, fleets, and alliances in preparation for a war that each of them, in their private moments, dreaded. They had constructed a system that made war almost automatic once it began. Across the Atlantic, the United States watched these events with the detachment of distance. President Woodrow Wilson was mourning his wife, Ellen, who would die of kidney disease on August 6, 1914, 2 days after Britain entered the war. America had its own preoccupations. The progressive movement's reform agenda, labor unrest, the continuing question of women's suffrage, and the unresolved tensions of a society absorbing millions of immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe. A European war seemed remote, a matter for the old world to settle among itself. Wilson would proclaim American neutrality the day after Britain entered the war. He would appeal to his fellow citizens to be neutral in thought as well as action. He would mean it sincerely and he would fail completely. The forces of finance, culture, propaganda, and submarine warfare would drag America toward a war it had not sought and was not prepared to fight. The story of how that happened, and what it cost, is the subject of this book. The Road to Where, 1914-1917. Chapter 1. The Guns of August. Europe Goes to War. The assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand on June 28, 1914, triggered what historians have called the July Crisis, 5 weeks of diplomatic maneuvering, ultimatums, and miscalculations that transformed a regional Balkan dispute into a continental catastrophe. The mechanism of that transformation reveals everything about how the great powers of Europe had organized themselves for a war none of them had fully intended to start. Austria-Hungary's foreign minister, Count Leopold von Berchtold, was determined to use the assassination as the pretext for crushing Serbia. But Austria-Hungary could not act without knowing whether Germany would back them against Russia, Serbia's protector. On July 5 and 6, Kaiser Wilhelm II of Germany and his chancellor, Theobald von Bethmann Hollweg, gave Austria-Hungary what historians have called the blank check, a promise of unconditional support for whatever Austria chose to do. The Kaiser departed on his annual North Sea cruise, apparently unconcerned about the consequences.